Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministry.
Okay, you ready? Okay. Yeah, come on in as they come. You know, see, they slow enough. Okay, let me get on. I'm going to go live on Facebook so we can get that going. So that take about 5 minutes.
I'm going at one time.
Yeah, I'm getting it. Mm-hmm.
You get all three, I'm going at one time.
Okay. Say a little bit. Good morning there. Good afternoon. I'm talking about good morning. We well over in the evening. Good evening, everyone. This is Denise Bryson with Impact Moments. We're so thankful to be again on doing our Impact Moments. We really love doing these, and so if you want to visit
morning,
us.
Yeah. Good afternoon. I'm talking about good morning. We well over in the evening. Good evening, everyone. This is Denise Bryson with Impact Moments. We're so thankful to be again on doing our Impact Moments. We really love
okay, we were hearing feedback, so that kind of startled me. But anyway, this is 180 Impact. You can go to 180impact.org and visit our site and see what's going on there. But we are doing our Impact Moments, and today I am so excited about this young man that's going to be bringing us our. Okay, I'm not sure what's going on right now, but we're going to get this together because I don't understand why I'm getting that feedback today. I ain't never got it. Hello, can you hear me now?
I can hear you fine.
Oh, okay. I think it's because I had these double things up. Okay, we are starting over. We'll edit that first part out, and we're going to keep on moving. Every Saturday it'd be a situation anyway. Okay.
Okay, we're gonna start it over. We'll edit that first part out. We're gonna keep on moving.
Okay. Welcome to
every
one.
Every Saturday it'd be a situation anyway.
Okay. I'm not sure what you know. Every Saturday we have a drama, but anyway, we're gonna keep on going. Because this is 180 Impact, and
welcome
this is what is going on today.
I'm not sure what you know. Every Saturday we have drama, but anyway, we're gonna keep on going.
Am I on here twice?
What is going on today?
Hold on, something.
Talents and powers. Dark.
I don't know, Tom. I'm so sorry. We got on here fine last week, so I'm not sure what's going on today. So anyway. Oh. I'm doing this every other week, so I shouldn't have this kind of. Okay, I'm going to get out of here and come back. We're going to start off just. So anyway. Oh.
I'm doing this every other week, so I shouldn't have. Okay, I'm
going to
get out of here and come back. Sorry.
We are having technical difficulties, but we get ready to get back on here. Oh, my God. Every drama every week. Hello? Okay, I'm back on. Let's try it again. Okay, so let's go. I don't know if it was, I think I was in twice or something. I'm not really sure. Well, let's get started so we can start it again. Oh, my God.
All right.
And I'll be trying to get it right. You know, this is so funny. I got, I've been on live on phone, so I'll be trying to get it right, honey. It's just, but anyway, that's why you need them babies. Okay, we're back on. Anyway, this is 180 Impact. And this is one of our impact moments. We do these every other Saturday. And we are just, we have different topics. But this is one of, this is a topic
okay,
that.
We're back on. Anyway, this is 180 Impact. And this is one of our impact moments. We do these every other Saturday. And we are just, we have different topics. But this is one of, this is a topic that.
Is there someone on this mute that's unmuted?
No, it's just us on here right now. Nobody else has got on here yet. Yeah, nobody else is on here yet.
Is there someone on this mute that's unmuted?
Mm-mm.
Pamela,
I have no idea why that's going there today. I really don't. I mean, we didn't, it didn't happen last week. We were just on it last week. I'm trying to see if I got anything on here I need to get out of here. So let me get out of, I didn't know all this stuff being open. So let me just go. I'm just dealing with it. That's it. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, we're going to work this out. Let's get out of all this stuff. Hold on. Surely this is not the reason it's getting better.
I got the wizard here.
Yeah, I had to bring Zion on in here because I have no idea why we're doing this.
Come in, Zion.
Okay, so that's it.
Can you tell him what the problem is? He probably have an answer.
Hi, Zion.
Hi.
No, we're trying to go live on Facebook. We're on the Zoom. And it's giving us feedback.
Okay.
It's like we have it up twice, but we don't.
Can you stop it completely? Like, stop it completely?
Yeah, Thomas, you stay on there. I'll come back. I'll do that. Okay, so here we're back. How do I get the con?
Can y'all
see me? Am I back?
Wait, go back to your email? Okay.
Okay, I'm back in. Are you back on?
Yeah.
I think I may know what, I think maybe I, did I go into it the wrong way? I don't know. Let's see if it works this time. Jump on the line. Hello? You can hear me? You can hear me. Let's wait to see if we get any feedback. Nope. I went into my account and hit webinar instead of going in through the email. I think that's what I have to do as a host. I think that maybe that was it. I don't know. Let's see. Well, let's go for it again. Still recording. Okay. I'm live on Facebook. I'm shut everything down but this. Okay, 400 years. I'm not going to explain. Public. Go live.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, I think we're back out here.
Hello?
Oh.
Hello?
Oh, my God, he's doing it again.
Okay.
Yeah, you're getting a feed. Because I'm hearing
hello, it. Please. Hello?
Oh, my God, he's doing it again. Talking and then we get feedback. So I'm trying to figure out what that, because we did it last week. We didn't have no.
Hello, I can hear any feedback.
Okay, I didn't hear that come back. Okay, let me try this live again. It must be something going on with this live. The way it's going on live, when it used to go on live, it was this. I mean, we didn't, I had to type in stuff and okay, I'll try it again. I don't know. It's usually a little different. So. Okay, let's see if that. Okay, I think I got it. Okay, anyway, we're going to do this. I think what I was doing, I had it, the thing over there, so I must be hearing it double. Anyway, welcome to 180 Impact. I'm telling you, we're having our technology day. I feel like a senior citizen with technology issues. I guess that's what I am today. But anyway, we are on 180 Impact Moments, and on 180 Impact, you can go to 180impact.org and visit our website to see all the things that we are doing. We, you know, we were new starting up in December of 2019, so we had to, so we started up right before the COVID hit. So we're doing things just to see, you know, just to make sure that we are beginning and we're doing active. I don't despise the days of small beginnings. I know my glasses got the little ring lights on it, but anyway, I don't despise those days, so we're going to continue on. But today I'm excited about it because we're going to be talking about 400 years of slavery. So we know that from, and we're talking about the period between 1619 and 2019. Those are the 400 years, and so that we're going to be talking about. And we may not even get through it all day, so this might have to be a continuum for what, you know, for what what's going to be talking about. But we're excited because this is historical, and so we're so thankful for that. And so we're glad to be learning about history. We hope that your young people will be able to hear this, because I think one of the problems with our young people is that they don't know their history. They don't know all the wonderful things that African Americans contributed to the building of this country and all of those things. And so this is one of those things, one of these learning experiences that can help them to really know more about who they are, where they came from. You know, because we came from Africa, but that's where our forefathers originated from. And so, but we do know that you know, our African Americans contributed a lot to the building of this country, and so they've contributed a lot to this country. And so these are some of the things that we're going to be learning today, plus a lot of extra. But then I'm quite sure that we're going to have to continue this conversation probably on another Saturday, and I'll be excited about that because we can continue it until we get through all of it. So, and I have a wonderful speaker today, and he is in the person of Thomas McGee. And so we're going to turn it over to him because I'm not going to run my mouth no more, but we'll turn it over to him so he can present the 400 years of slavery. Thomas McGee. You're on mute.
Thank you, Taylor Denise, for giving me an opportunity to come on live with 180 Impact.
You're welcome.
Man, it's got a lot of stuff to unpack today. talking about the 400 years of slavery. You know, August the 20th, 2019, made our 400 years mark in this country. Today we're going to be talking about, we're going to have a discussion. We're going to be talking about, I'm going to give some inserts from this book, The 400 Souls, which was written by Keisha Blaine and Ephraim Kendi. It was written by 80 authors.
Oh, wow.
And 10 poets. And they got a lot. It's a lot of information in this book. If you want to know something about history that has been written by the descendants of slaves, you need to get this book and read it. There's a lot of information in there about the African-American community, because they know us as being the community in this book. And that being said, you know, we can't have a discussion about the African-American community without asking the question. This is the question that we have to ask ourselves. God allowed us as a nation of people to be stolen from our land and taken into captivity just to say that it happened.
No.
You know, I don't believe that God allowed our forefathers to be bought into captivity, bought into this country, and taken into slavery, and then just to say that it just happened. You know, there's nothing that can be done about it. We're not going to get anything out of it. Well, I got some information that, you know, we're being talked about today, even in Congress, even in the White House today. There's discussions that are being made about the Afro-American community. We're going to talk about this bill, the reparations bill, which is H.R. 40, which has been brought back to the floor by Congresswoman Sandra Jackson Lee of Houston, Texas, out of Houston, Texas. She brought it back to the floor. they had the same situation that happened. They were taken into captivity for 400 years. That's 400 years. God told them that's 400 years. They would be bought out of slavery, and once they bought out of captivity, they would come out, and they not only would be coming out, but they would come out with great substance.
Great substance.
So we're all creators and inventors. You have to think within yourself. Out of all the nations in this world, why would they choose us?
Why? Is the question. Yeah.
They could have went to all the other nations and taken through a slave captive. They chose us. We're the ones that they chose that bought into this country, the college developed this country. And so there's a reason behind that. Afro Americans have a lot of creativity. When we talk about the parallel with us and Israel, there's some scripture references to that. Let's get into the 31:1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen the men from the tribes of Judah and Dan. I have filled them with my spirit, with wisdom, with understanding, with all kinds of skills to make designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut stone and engage in all." And you have to think, the children of Israel, they had just come, they had came out of slavery and went into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, creativity happened.
Yes.
The Israelites, the tabernacle and everything that was associated with the tabernacle, they did this, and it had come from the wisdom of God.
Yes.
That's what happened. So we're going to, also we have creativity, not only with the children of Israel, but let's look at Afro-American people. Let's talk about Frederick Douglass. Abolitionist, he's an orator, and he's a statesman. After escaping slavery, he moved to ended up in Maryland, and he became a national leader in the abolitionist movement in Massachusetts and in New York, becoming famous for his oratory and his incisive anti-slavery writings. Number two, let's look at Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman was an American abolitionist, as well, she was a political activist, born in slavery. Tubman escaped and subsequently made some 13 missions to rescue approximately 10 1619, when the colonizers that were here during the colonization period, they were from Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the ones that came to Africa, which is the area of Africa is they were the Dongo people, and they were from Angola. That's where the first 20 souls that came into America and that were sold into slavery. Actually, there were 350 Afro-Americans that were already in the United States of America when that first ship, the White Lion, arrived here.
Wow.
And
I didn't know that.
That was the first of the Semites, the first on August 20th, 2019, which is better known as the community today. Black Africans defined as individuals of African descent in solidarity. Solidarity is important for us as a nation. We have to stick together as a nation. Every nation that comes to this country, I mean, I know that God said that all nations, you know, through the seed of Abraham, that all nations of the earth will be blessed. But what God was saying is that we all have a right to civil liberty, we all have a right to freedom, and we all in life, with everything that's going on, all of these struggles are happening for a reason. And the fights that are happening, they were Black Lives Matter movement and everything, that is because God is strategically setting us up for what that is rightfully out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't say, how God is going to do it, but in Egypt, when God decides to bring the people free, to set his people free, he sent plagues, he sent frogs, he sent flies, he sent that. We don't know how God is still on the throne. He still exists. He still rules and reigns, and he is still the supreme being. He is peace and justice and supreme in power. So in spite of everything that's going on, God still is going to do what he said he's going to do in the Afro-American community.
Jesus is Lord and God is in control. I said Jesus is Lord and God is in control.
And God is still in control. Let's talk a little bit about, there's a lot that's being said in the news, and some of the myths we're going to have to deal with because they think, a lot of times people think that us as Afro-Americans, that we're not a nation of people that look for handouts. Let me give you two specific incidents that happened here in America where Afro-Americans was actually living, and they were doing well in the United States of America. We had there was actually a Black Wall Street in the United States of America in the Greenwood District in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Black Afro-American was thriving in business, had their own bank, and all it took was one white woman to make. We don't know whether it's true or false. She said that an Afro-American man assaulted her, and that was the destruction that what she said is what reason that we had the Tulsa race riot. It was 10,000 Black people were left homeless. Their property was damaged. The damages amounted up to $1.5 million, which in actual today is $32.25 million worth of damage that was done to Black Wall Street as a result of a white lady coming out in the street and saying that she had been assaulted by a Black man. Number two, let's look at the Rosewood massacre. This was the New Year's Eve day of 1923. There was a white woman named Fannie Mae Taylor bust out of her home screaming, saying that she had been attacked in Summer, Florida by a Black man. Rosewood was known as a neighboring town to Summer, Florida, better known as the white people called this town the Full and Uppity Negro. The 7 days from Gainesville and Jacksonville rallied together, fueled by alcohol and bloodlust, raged through the town, killing Afro-Americans. They destroyed Rosewood.
The stories kind of remind me of Joseph being lied on and put in prison for 13 years because of a lie. She said that he attacked her and he tried to, you know, he tried to take advantage of her, and it was purely a lie. Same thing with these two, so with Rosewood and Black Wall Street. Somebody told, you know, I don't know if it's a lie because I wasn't there. So, but what I'm saying is that sounds like the same type of situation where, you know, a lie was told, and then these are the results of that.
Exactly. The many incidents that has happened where blacks were thriving and trying to make a living for themselves, and mobs came, white mobs came in, destroyed our communities, burnt down the town, burnt down the churches, you know, and even today, you know, they say that a lot of things that are happening, that happening, you know, the riot and looting comes from the African American community. But when you see the bombing of the nation's capital, found out that there was something told to him, you know, and that's just not a part of our heritage. You know, a lot of things that have been about us in the media today is totally untrue about us. We need to talk about something because what we fail to realize is that when we go talking about the H.R. Boyd deal and reparations, what we have to realize is that God actually calls a debt. Just like we can call a debt, God calls a debt from heaven. Let's look at James 5:1, coming on you. Your wealth has rise, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold is civil of the road. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last day. Look, the wages, talking about the money, the wages you fail to pay the workers to mow your field is crying out against you. And the cry of the laborer has entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath.
Ooh-wee. It's serious.
Oh, yes.
I mean, yeah. That speaks of what has happened. I mean, you know, if you look, if you really listen to what that verse just said, read it again, please.
Oh, to God, you speak, man. We've been bound for the misery that is coming upon you. You have your wealth is rotting, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver is corroded. The corrosion will testify against you and eat up your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last day. Look, the wages who mold your field is crying out against you. The wages you have failed to pay the workers who mold your field is crying out against you. As an African-American community, the promises that were made to us were not kept. And when God calls the debt, he calls it on Israel, you know, we got a lot of stuff. You have to take a look at some of the things going on in America today. You know, the pandemic and stuff. You know, first they said it was man-made stuff. And they're coming down with hope. You know, that lets you know this is not man. Man is not in control. God is still in control.
And look at this scenario with that as well. Because if you think about that scenario with Egypt, the one thing that they kept saying, he told Abraham, he told it to Isaac, he told it to Jacob, and Joseph told it to them before he died. He said, God will surely visit you, and he will surely bring you out. That's what he told them. And when he brought them out, wealthy. They might have went in a famine, but when they came out, they were wealthy. We on our way out.
With great stuff.
Hallelujah for that.
Glory to God.
Now that's the word.
The thing about it, you know, God will bring us out wealthy, and I appreciate that, and I love it, and I'm doing it. But the thing about it is, you know, I think most of the African-American people, of course, people want their money. I just think we all just want to be treated fairly so we can go about our daily lives and live our lives. As the white, that's what I think. Is, you know, most people, of course, they want their money. But we just, like you said, we want our civil
Exactly.
Let's look at the proposal of H.R. 40, which was written by the late John Carson. He said 5 million Afro-Americans in this country that is eligible for reparations. We're talking about descendants of slaves. We're not talking about people of color. We're talking about Afro-Americans descendants of slaves. They said the bill is proposed at $300 to $350 trillion. Which means that, I mean, not 300, that each eligible descendant of slaves would get anywhere from $300,000 to $350,000. Not a lot of money to have to develop the country. $300,000, you just think about it. Even if you pay one of us $300,000 to $350,000, at the end of the day, that's just a nice home. That's not 7 acres and a mule. But they're proposing it in Washington right today. Now they're saying, you know, put it in the hands of certain black people, they just don't take it and blow it. Well, you know, there's a lot of kids that have taken money and blown it, that, you know, heirs to their family. You know, not only does it not give them a right to keep it back, just because, you know, they think that we're just going to take the money and blow it.
Well, this is the thing.
It's their business.
Yeah. And this, yeah, it's a debt. And the thing about it is, we think people are gonna go and blow it, but some people might say, no, I'm not blowing this. If I buy something, I'm gonna buy something that is appreciate and not depreciate. You know, people sometimes their mindset will turn around, and with all that has been going on in the nation. Hopefully we'll have more people whose mindset is beginning to turn where they will, instead of blowing it, they will say, I'm going to get what if I'm going to pay on this house off because it's an appreciated asset and not a depreciation. So, you know, it would be better for you to go and get you a house than go get you a car, then go get a car because a car depreciates. You can get one of them anytime. But get something that is lasting. So I think if we begin to talk, if that comes to pass, and that is all, if that is all they're going to give, which I know what you're saying, it should be more than that. But if that is all they're going to give, then we as a community need to start building people up to say, this is what, and we ain't telling you what to do with your money, but we telling you how to keep it and have it, is what we're saying. Because now we can come together and go buy land. You know what I'm saying? Because we got to understand the value of our money. Our money can speak. That's what I do know.
That's the reason that boycott, that's the reason the civil rights movement took effect. And Linda and Martin King was promised to the White House by Lyndon B. Johnson because when they shut the finance.
But you know what? I want to say, you know, they give us reparations to the people. I don't want them to have the attitude, which some of them will. Well, we gave our money, shut up and sit down. The devil is a lie.
Right.
The devil is a lie. This
even
is the time. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I just didn't want that to happen. But you
even
know that's
even if they gave it to them and put stipulations on it, because sometimes there's something wrong with the stipulation on it. You know, should be the first 100,000. You know, you got to go get a college degree. I mean, not all of us. You know, some of us went to school and got a degree and learned some things. But some of our young people might need to get an education. But what about if they, you know, those of us that have already gotten an education, they're going to find money that'll pay off our student loan debt. One of the major crises in America today is student loan debt. If they could just pay off the student loan debt and your mortgage. You know, there are two things that God promised us. He didn't promise us clothes and cars.
Mm-mm.
He promised us houses
and land.
The reason that he promised us houses and land is because where the money resides, that's where the money. Money is in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason they rejected to give us the land. They rejected to give us the house and the land because that's where the money is. In the 1940s and 50s, Afro-American community, the only way that they could generate wealth in the Afro-American community was
Wow.
And that should not be. I had an old gentleman tell me, I was at the VA hospital, I had an older gentleman tell me, he said, you know what the major problem is with our young people today? I said, what is it, sir? Drive around with our address on our license plate. And I got up and kind of sibled and got up and went to walk. And he said, oh, you don't even know what I'm talking about, sir. I turned around and I looked at him and I said, sir, I work in real estate. I know exactly what you're talking about. He'll go to the auction and go get a $250 car and put $20,000 worth of decorations on it. What kind of sense does that make? You know, and anybody that goes to buy a car, you know, if you've got an extra park in front of a project, that's a real problem. That's a financial one that needs some financial literacy, because cars depreciate as soon as you pull them out of the parking lot. That's even every time when you go to trade them in, they upside down. So we need to figure out a better way of educating our young people and educating ourselves. We just didn't have this. My mother had 6 years and 4 months of boys. She had to work many 16-hour shifts. I remember her working 16-hour shifts. It was just about 6 days a week. We didn't have nobody to sit down and teach us about how money works.
That's true. No, that's true.
So that's something that, you know, I understand that, you know, some people say that, you know, some people a lot of money for something. And it might be true, but whatever is yours belongs to you.
Because,
you know, if you're an heir, you're just an heir.
And we are heirs.
You can't take away from an heir who's like an heir.
No. And you're so right, because, you know, when I was coming up, my father passed away, and at that time I was like 12, and so they had it set up where, you know, your father, the children would get, a bereavement check up until a certain age, I guess is where, I'm going to call it bereavement check, I don't know exactly, but, and so my mom got a check until I was 18, and then my brother got a check until he was 22 because he went to school. Same thing with me up until I was 22. So we got this money every month. And so my mother taught us how, she took us and taught us how to open up checking accounts and have those kind of accounts. But still we didn't really learn, because then when you got to be about 18, here come the credit card stuff coming in. Because, you know, especially if you was on your way to college, here come all the credit card stuff coming in. And in that credit card stuff coming in, if you didn't really know how to manage and handle it, that's when things begin to spiral out of control. And that's what's still happening today. When these kids go to college, they begin to, get all this stuff in. And if they're not really taught how to handle that debt coming in, then it becomes a problem. Then it spirals out of control. And then they find themselves in bankruptcy at an early age or whatever. I know that's what happened to me. So I have a mission that I want to help children not go down that same path. Like I was telling a group of school, I taught a business class as a sub, you know, I was subbing, but I taught a business class because I was there for about 2 months, and so that was my assignment. So what I told them was, because I told them, they said, well, we just want to make this money, we want to make it. I said, but if you don't know how to handle money, I said, you have to know how to handle money. You can make millions of dollars and lose millions of dollars, because you don't know how to handle it, or you didn't know what was going on, so you gave the power to somebody else to handle your money, and they were stealing it. I said, you have to know how to handle it. I mean, we have so many examples before. Look at all the young groups that, you know, the R&B groups that we've seen that have filed bankruptcy. They were young. They didn't know what the paperwork really said. They signed the documents, and they were ripped off. So we have to begin to teach these things. This is one reason for 180 Impact. We got to begin to teach our young people these things so they will be aware, so they'll be smart about money. That's one of the key things that we have to get smart about. I think about Jacob with the speckles, the spotted, and the ring star. God gave him a strategy to get rich. We got to get the strategy, and then we got to be smart with the strategy. Go ahead, Tom. I'm just throwing that in. Go ahead.
No, that's good. You got some minutes you want to say about this?
give me my money. This is wonderful. This is absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much.
And the apple there. Israel was taken into captivity into Egypt for 400 years. They came out. God allowed them to enter into Canaan. Now, God gave specific instructions to the Israelites. He said, when you get over in that country, over into that land, I don't want you to take over the characteristics of that land. I don't want your sons to marry their daughters.
That's it. Don't look at me. Look at the Bible.
Away from God, and then they went back into what? Acceptance, captivity. They were divided once again. Half was taken into Babylon captivity, the other half was taken into Syria captivity. Any nation or kingdom that's divided against itself would not stand. Israel was not able to stand because they turned from God, and then they were, and then they became divided. That's the reason that it is very important that as a nation of people, not trying to start a revolution or anything, but as a nation of people, we got to come together. One thing that was so disheartening to me is what is so disheartening me to me today is that when I hear older people say they don't want anything to do with this generation that's coming behind us, you know,
we can't
it's
do that.
Really sad. It's just really sad because we have to remember somebody people care for us. My grandfather's sister, which had she had a lot to do with my upbringing. You know, he prayed for me. He was there for me. Those sisters and those mothers and those teachers and those, they were there for me as a child. I mean, because they had to teach me the way of the Lord. There's a remnant of us that are left that have to pass down the way of the Lord to this generation behind us. I hope, you know, some of them are like children of young man tell me he was cussing. And I said, do you cuss your mother? He said, I pay them bills, miss. That's what he told me. I just looked. What else can you say about that? He was in high school working and paying bills at his home to help his mother out. So she allowed him adult conversation, you know, not that cussing is adult conversation, but you know what I'm saying? She allowed him to talk to her in that manner because of that. And so, you know, sometimes I think they're allowing the kids to grow up too fast because they need their assistance, but they're still children, you know, and so I think we have to understand that. I think about that one statement I heard Kirk Franklin say when that incident with his situation. He said, I am the parent. I am not his friend. I'm his parent. And so I think we have to make sure we keep that line. You know, later on, and you know, when you 50, they 50. You 70, they 50. That's a whole nother situation. But you know, but if they still trying to have childlike act behavior, then yeah, they're still the child, and you're the parent. I'm not your friend, and so I think we have to remember that. And I don't have no kids, but anyway, I just know that from my good friends that are parents. I listen, you know, to what they're saying. But I think that is some of the things we have to we have to think about when we think about it. And another thing too, when you're talking about the parallel between the Israelites and our 400 years here, you know, God also he told them, anyway, go ahead, Thomas. I think of it left me like that. We have exited slavery. Slavery ended. But look where we at now. Mm-hmm. You know, as I was wanting to get my degree in substance abuse counseling, social work, and had to do some practice. And I had to do it at the Roland Park Department. And you would just be amazed. Just think about it. You would be amazed how many of us that go down there every month and get anywhere from $50 to $120 a month in fees for nonviolent consent. That's a second captivity. And the sad part about it is that we have representatives in the House of Congress, and we have representatives in the Senate. These people are making laws. That's just so important that we vote. And I'm going to get to the last thing, the importance of voting. That's the reason that it's so important to vote, because we have making laws to keep us in captivity, keeping us as marginalized as they can. You know, it's just like we're being taken back. You know, and look at the laws just passed in Georgia, but in southern states here, Florida, look at these laws that are being passed. They're doing this behind closed doors. So it's very important. I'm grateful for Stacey Abrams, because I think she's a modern day Harriet Tubman.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm grateful for those, you know,
old enough.
They're holding the card and going out there and making sure that we don't lose our rights to vote, because we got a lot of our young kids don't even know that they don't even know someone died in the street and was attacked by mobs just so you could have a right to vote.
Yeah, and they need to know this too, that it just wasn't black people, it was Jewish people, it was white people. They died. Those three young men, if you think about them, they was a white guy, a black guy, and a Jewish guy. They died for our right to vote. So we have to remember. One of the takeaways to be, it's been the African American people, but there were other cultures that melted in with us to get us to these civil liberties, and so to get us these civil liberties that so many people come from abroad and enjoy, and then have the audacity to look at us like we don't have good sense. But anyway, that's another topic, and so we won't even go there today. But we do have those types of things going on. But we got to remember that people actually died. It's important. Like, we got local elections right now over in my area. I got to get out and vote, because it's important that you vote at all levels, not just when the presidential campaign is going on, but if you vote at all levels, you don't know who you're bringing up the ranks to maybe take a Senate position, or to take a representative position, or to take a presidency position, or a judicial position. So that is why it's important that we vote at all levels. Just don't come out when the presidential campaign is going on. But we have local levels right now that we need to get out and vote.
Know your branches of government.
Yes.
It's very important in your branches of government.
Yes.
Very important. And the reason I say it about this stuff is because people didn't know this. And I did a seminar on this. It's an article that was written by Tim Kaine when Hillary Clinton was running for president of the United States, and everybody was thinking she was going to come out there with Bernie Sanders, and they was hoping that she could use him as a PPP, and then she came out there with Tim Kaine, and everybody went, "Watch this, bro, what is he doing? Who is Tim Kaine, and what is he doing for Tim Kaine?"
I remember.
Why did he build him?
Yeah, I remember.
It's important, just like they do their research on us, it's important that we do their research, do our research on them. Tim Kaine wrote a whole article. If he got in as vice president, going to bring to the floor the Afro-American History Act. Tim Kaine is a civil rights lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm not going to say, it wasn't because of the vote that they lost. The election was just over.
than me or something. So is Tim Kaine an African American? Who is that?
Tim Kaine.
He's Hispanic.
Tim Kaine is, and he was the vice presidential nominee that ran with Hillary Clinton on her ticket.
I hear you, but was he an African American man?
No, he was bilingual.
Oh.
I think he was part Hispanic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I know he was born in Spanish. But,
yeah.
He was a lawyer in Virginia, Commonwealth of Virginia.
Okay.
And that election was lost, was taken from him, but you know, he had you have to look at what did he have on the table? What was his agenda?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his agenda was to enforce the African American History Act. And to begin to talk again about reparations. We missed it one time, so it's time for us to get in. And I got on Joe Biden's page, and I got on Kamala's page, and then I did the feed, and I was telling them, you know, you have to remember who it was that put you in the White House. You know, it was the African-American community at the end of the day. So, you know, you can't go out and just leave us to the couch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was there for me. So, you know, and I think that's reason, you know, President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, you know, sometimes you have to do things behind closed doors, but I think they're gonna work.
And you have to trust the process, but you got to keep praying for them, too, because they do need prayer, so that's one thing we can't give up that. And another thing is you know, what we showed so much happened, and I know the Black Lives Matter, all of that was happening. We showed solidarity there, but we also with the voting process, we showed we have power. And so next, so we showed us we had power there, but our money really got power. And if we would think about, you know, sometimes, you know, these people treat me bad. I said, I don't have to shop here. This is my money. I do not have to give you my money. And I'll say that in a minute. You know, if they cut up, I'll say that in a minute. I don't have to give you my money. I don't have to come in here and buy anything. We can get it. It's somebody else is selling it. So be careful how you treat people because you think, oh, they just black folks. Oh, no. My money speaks. It does have power. So I think if we gather up as a community and help people to understand that, now my money got power. And so be careful, because I don't have to spend it in your establishment. And that's what we have to do. And then as African-American African-Americans, and this is what I want to say, too, because everybody is not geared toward college. Some people will go to trade school. Some people will become entrepreneurs. Some people have other gifts and talents that will take them in a different direction. And all of it is okay. It really is. And so, but we have to make sure that we are knowledgeable about, because all of it is, because the Bible tells us this, it gives us this clear, money answers all things.
All things,
that's what it says. So if it answers all things, it behooves us to know what to do with it. We need to ask for wisdom to know what to do with it all the time. That's just one thing we got to, you know, we have to dig down and be willing to say, oh, I messed it up, I'll say it. And so I'm trying to get it right now. So I do a lot better with things. But you gotta have some money to do better with. I remember when I was let go from that one job, and I started being a substitute teacher, and I wasn't making it. Somebody said this to me. They said, "Well, you need the budget. Well, if all you bringing home is $600-something every 2 weeks, you can't do too much with that. When you already had a house, no car, no all utilities, what you can't. There's no budget. There is no budget." So you got to be careful what people say to you, so you won't, you know, because that's just stupid stuff. But anyway, go ahead.
Let me say this, because I feel like I'm going to say this before I forget it. There's one thing very important, is that we stand in solidarity for what is rightfully ours. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I remember when I was a student at University of Texas at Arlen, and I worked at standing in the line, and I was noticing that every time that I was standing in line, those little Asian kids, they would come in my line, and I would clean them up. They had charity, we got to come out and vote and make our voice be heard and do what we need to do so we can get what's rightfully ours. That's what this is all about today.
Mm-hmm.
As a nation of people, we've been in this country, we've suffered many, many, many social ills. And come together and stand and demand what is rightfully ours.
What is right
there. That's what Martin Luther King then did. And then, see, the Bible says that we have to find the whole head of our find these new weapons to use against, you know, to come to use to get what we need. But the Bible says find the old path and walk again. They shut the economy down and the whole civil rights era to play.
Mm-hmm.
So what works then works today.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say too, Thomas, the one thing when you're talking about people not feeling like they need to pour into this next generation, God told them, he said, reiterate. We have to reiterate in the ear of each generation. Because other than that, and this is why, here go proof of that. When Joseph told them, God will surely visit you and he will surely bring you out. When you leave here, take my bones. Now, we talking about the 400 years haven't even started yet, right? So then you got the 400 years starting, you know, and he had died, and the 400 years had begun. 400 years later, when they left out of there, they got them bones and took them up out of there. That could only be done because they were reiterating to the generations behind them what the promises of God was and what they had promised to do. That's what I wanted to say earlier, but I forgot. This has been amazing today. I hope people that will listen to it now, will listen to it later, have got an amazing experience from this. These are the kind of things we want to bring, and we're going to bring him back to talk about some more stuff because he got more in him, I know. And so we're going to bring him back to do some more discussion about this topic. Sister Dawson, do you have anything you want to say?
I think this has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much, Brother Thomas, for what you gave us today. More people need to hear. There need to be more discussion. We can act like we got to spend and do it the right way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, we that are older need to be patient to pour into our young people, like Denise said, so they'll know how to act and what to do when it comes time. And so thank you so much. I know I haven't said much. I've been sitting here listening and really been thinking about what you said today. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that, you know, we had this discussion, and thanks for all your comments and your input and your questions. Those have been good. And I want you to prepare for something, prepare me something else, Thomas, you know, in July maybe, I guess in June, whatever you want to do. But anyway, we're going to continue these discussions because they need to continue. Because if that is something that's on the table, then we as a community, we got to start talking about these things so people can get ready for it. So they won't go, and we can tell when the stimulus comes because we always see coming out of the Walmart is a 55 is up TVs going through the, you know, how many of them can you buy? How many of them can you watch? Come on. And so we got all that going out. I don't have nothing wrong with people having what they have. I don't see, you know, I always say I don't have a problem with people having things, but I do have a problem with things having people. And so that is the thing. But, you know, do what you need to do. But don't let that be the only thing you do. And don't go out and go on the shopping spree and give all everything to you know, to the different places. So we have to, you know, these are things we have to begin to do. Whether we got, you know, so whatever it takes, we as a community, we need to come together. Because when we come together, we have what? Power. That's what we got to know. Our money has power. Our voice has power. And our actions can have the same. And we have to stop killing up one another. Let's stop doing that as well. You know, we have enough to deal with, and then to keep hearing about drive-bys and young people being killed by a bunch of people shooting up cars and stuff like that. Come on. It is not that deep. Nothing should make you that angry.
Right.
that this is what we keep doing. So, or what people keep doing. I'm not doing any of it. But anyway, that this is what's happening. So we gotta stay on the wall. I know that we gotta stay in prayer and rebuke the violence and this murdering spirit that is out there. And then we also, you know, even with that, if they did say that they will, if that happened and whatever they would give as a reformation, we gotta pray even for that, because we saw a scenario where somebody gave the stimulus check and the young man went and killed up all the family trying to get the stimulus check from somebody, and he still didn't get it. So we have so much to pray for. We have so much to continue to discuss. So many other things that need to be discussed, and we have to keep going at it. So today, thank you, Thomas, for being our guest. We appreciate all your conversation. It was amazing. It was really good, and we thank you. You have stimulated our thinking, and you have stimulated us to even want to do more and to bring more awareness to these particular types of topics. Because, you know, there are, you know, maybe we need an African-American history. I know they got the museum, but maybe we need some African-American libraries where they can go and read stuff from African-American authors. Not that we're trying, but we just want our young people to know that there are people that are doing stuff, and you can do it. They don't have to be wait till they're 40 and 20 and 30 and 40 to do it. They can write a book. They can write, you know, we have historical things that we can present as well. And things, some of them are coming up with inventions. I saw something about a little young girl the other day that came up with something. I mean, we got some brilliant young people. They are brilliant. And so let's support that, and so they can get to the places they need to be. So, and I'm so thankful for all of that. But anyway, this has been 180 Impact, and this has been Impact Moments. I hope because of this, this has impacted your day and caused you to begin to think about some things, and even begin to think about your own life. And for all of that, and you know, we talk about the young people, but I want to encourage those 50-ish and up. If not now, when? Come on, you got stuff. If you still breathe, you got plenty left to do. God left you here for a reason. If not now, when? Thank you so much, Thomas, for all that you brought us today. It's been exciting. Thank you, Phyllis, for joining us. And we will see you back here the next time on Impact Moments. Hello? Oh, that was really good. That's the next. Okay.